Welcome to this week's episode of Azentuary. We left off last time back in Sigil. Actually, more specifically, we left off with all of you guys in the Great Tavern, hanging out, having a drink, and then having a good night's sleep. You've successfully completed finding two of the items on your list. You have two more. Your plan was to head towards Bytopia to then head to Shurok. And, well, as I say, but first, let's wake up and find yourself in the tavern.
Right. All right. How many people was I able to successfully convert?
Oh, let's see. Well, hey, roll me a charisma check.
Alrighty.
That'll determine what dice I use.
Double check. Am I still at? Oh yeah, I'm at minus one. Okay. 14.
14. Ooh, for that one. Let's see. Let's use some D8 for that one. 14. You did pretty good. Oh. Well, no, you didn't. You got one.
Hey, one's better than none.
Hey, I think one is that's his best to date.
Oh no, he's been able to get a couple others over the times. You know, he's not completely inept as a prophet, spokesperson, whatever.
Spokesman. I wouldn't call yourself a prophet. Jeez.
Spokesman.
Yeah. Okay.
Social curator.
Well, in any case, you did one. Good job.
Yay.
Hey, anybody counts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Alright. Anyway, so what are we gonna get?
You were wanting to go get the ore last time, is what you said.
Yeah, no, yeah, I know. I'm just thinking, I thought there was some shopping to get done before we left. Definitely, Dane's going to need some mining tools. He's going to want at least a pickaxe and stuff. Because you're going to go mining, so... I think that'll be his first order of business, is going and getting something.
Right on. All right, you start heading out. Is everyone traveling together, or... You just letting Dane, like, go to the market solo or wherever he's going?
Dane, why not?
Alpha shall follow with okay. To see if there are any developments in the market that he can learn from.
Awesome. Well, you guys walk outside and, you know, it's the same as ever. Pretty static here. And then in the distance... Something kind of catches your eye. It's a little spinning, whirling something that gets closer and closer and then flies up right into Alpha's face and looks at you, blinks a couple times, and says,
Alpha, progeny of Bron? Gondian?
Why, yes. What a fascinating creature you are.
Thanks, I think. I have a message for you.
And there's a little tiny pouch. So this is like a Tinkerbell from the Disney Peter Pan sized creature. And there's a little pouch on its side, and it reaches inside and whips out a scroll that is like full-size huge. Obviously, it's like a little item of holding. So this giant scroll keeps coming out, and it hands it to you and says,
there you go, bye.
And buzzes off.
Fascinating. If we could harness such a small creature to do message deliveries, this could offset the issues we're facing with D-mail recently.
So what does the scroll say?
Well, Alpha, you open it up?
Yes.
Okay, well, I want to check. I didn't know if you were just going to be fascinated for a while and stare off into the distance.
Well, he was briefly lost in thought, like staring at that. But he did regain his composure. I mean, there is a job to be done.
Well, you open the message and you see that it is, please come to the Forge of God.
Oh, what a coincidence. We recently came from there and should know exactly where that is.
Well, you didn't just come from there. You were in the tavern.
No, but I mean, not that just, but like a couple sessions back, we visited the Forge of Gond.
Yes. You did. All right. So you want to head over there while Dane goes to the shop? Or
Yes, indeed. One does never ignore a summons from the Forge. There is work to be done.
There you go. All right. I assume, Dane, you keep going to the Forge? Or the market?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you go off to the market, and we'll deal with this first. You wander around a little while, and you see a couple of gnomes walk by carrying some shovels, pickaxes, various other implements of mining on their backs.
Okay. So I stop them, and I'm like, hey, where are you guys headed off to?
They kind of look up you. What? We're going to work. Leave us alone. Dwarf, jeez.
What are you mining?
The only thing that's worth mining. Unobtainium.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Of course it'd be unobtainium. Where'd you get your mining tools from?
What? Oh. Right over there. Look at you see that the shop with the like the pickaxe and the scythe on it? It bright red flag.
Perfect. Thank you. Is it yeah, okay. Do they speak Russian there?
What? No. We speak Gnomish. Jeez. Damn dwarves.
All right. Anyway, so I go to that store.
All right, you walk in and there's a gnome behind the counter, kind of, you know, finishing up his last writ of sale. He raises an eyebrow and looks at you.
What can I do for you, comrade?
My God.
I need some mining tools.
I wish to overthrow the proletariat.
These,
right? Quiet, boy. Quiet.
I am sorry. My assistant is vocal about things that we should not speak of.
Okay.
Assistant releases
good
a hammer.
To know.
Seize the means of production.
Quiet! Quiet, Vanyan! No!
He's very chatty, isn't he?
Yes. Yes, he is. Perhaps... Vanyan! Go! Buy me a churro!
We work as one!
Seize the means of sugar.
He just runs off.
Pass. All right. What are you mining for?
We are needing some ore from Shurok.
He gives you a couple of blinks and kind of chuckles.
Sure you are. And you think the gnomes are just going to let you walk in and grab it.
What is a Shurok?
It is all of gods. The gnomish gods. It is our pantheon.
Ah, okay. All right, let's see. Well, do they sell that ore?
No. You have to go get it.
Okay, well then, we gotta go get it.
I'll tell you, best of luck. I give you that axe right there. And he points you towards a axe that looks like it's basically made from, like, bone and, you know, some type of heavy wood.
Wouldn't I need a pickaxe and not like a regular axe?
No, it's like a pickaxe made from bone. Like hardened. Yeah.
Okay. So I look at that and I'm like, why would that pickaxe of bone be good for mining ore? Bone is a lot softer than stone.
You trust me. This is what you want. This will get you ore of Sherlock.
Okay. All right, I will trust you.
Probably be a good idea. Trust the expert.
Unless the expert's trying to... Well, I guess if the expert is trying to pull a fast one over me, I know where to find him.
He...
So, yeah, that's a good idea.
Just a thought. If it's magic, I'd say it's probably good.
Anyway, okay, so...
Oh, I thought you were doing an Arcana check. All right, never mind.
My bad. I actually haven't rolled yet, so give me a sec.
Ah, that's fine.
Okay. So, 17.
It is white hot. You touch the thing and you feel it. It's almost pulsating with magic.
Oh, nice. Okay. I'm like, all right, yeah, this feels good.
Now, I will make you a deal. You?
Okay.
You are successful. You bring me back Sherlock ore size of fist.
Okay.
So you use the barter system, do you?
He's not even requiring a down payment. No. He has faith in the party. He will prove him wrong.
Yeah.
No, you just didn't give him a chance to finish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Until then, I need jewel from you. Hold in trade.
Oh, okay. What kind of a jewel?
Maybe diamond, size of fist.
We don't have any diamonds the size of fists.
But... I'll come up with something.
Yes, okay. We do have... Hold on a sec. Let me look and see what we got. I mean, I do have... some stuff.
Got nothing of value.
I'm looking.
Got a bunch of gems from that one.
Yeah. Best.
I thought you guys still had gems that you stole from the, like, Temple of Ra.
I don't think we got any diamonds.
We did. I don't know how big it is. We got 7,000 gold pieces, a diamond, some alexandrite, and a black pearl.
I guarantee you that diamond will be sufficient.
Okay. So, yeah, I haul out that diamond and I hand it to him.
His eyes sparkle. Yes. Excellent.
Yes. Yes.
Alright. Okay, cool. Alright, so I Yeah, okay, anyway, go ahead.
No, he puts it away and, you know, just looks at you dead-eyed and says, Dos vidanya.
Right.
Yes, thank you.
As you... Okay, so you guys, you did
Gnomish
that.
Is a very
we need to jump
language.
To Alpha. Yes, yes it is. At least in this guy's case.
Vidanya, why do you want her to dance?
Anyway, so dealing with Alpha. Alpha, you walk into the Great Forge. Well, the antechamber, the entrance. And you are greeted by one of the apprentices. Hello, Master Alpha. Thank you for responding to our message.
My pleasure. Eight of me.
Well, as you know, you are collecting various objects that we need for your mission that you're performing for Gond. And, well, we also heard that you met a dragon along the way, and there were some... Yes, that's the thing. I know you don't agree with them, but we kind of have a use for him, if it's possible for you to maybe convince him to come here.
Interesting. I will attempt to do so.
Return
and, the and Alpha adds on, I believe his materials will be very useful in many forging processes.
Yeah.
We only need one thing from him, and it does require him to be alive.
Unfortunate, but understandable.
Excellent. We have plans. So, thank you. Do what you can, please, to get him here. At some point.
Sighorn.
Remember, you can't hear any of this.
This is other universe me being excited.
Okay. That makes no sense. Alright, anyway.
Anyway, so he holds up his hand, says whatever it is, like, may progress be with you or whatever.
And also with you.
Cool.
Alright, so where did Sighorn end up?
He went to Valhalla.
Okay.
Yeah, because he had to get the shackle off.
Yeah, he was asking Odin to ask the dwarves to help him remove the magical shackles.
Oh, right, yes.
But anyway, you have your pickaxe.
Perfect. We're in good shape then.
Yay.
Awesome. Are you gonna go look for the wherever the portal to Bytopia is?
No, probably not yet, because Alpha, I imagine, is still at the forge, right?
Yeah. What are the rest of the people doing during this time?
Well, you went to the forge. They went to the market. They got the pickaxe. While you got the message from the apprentice.
So, yeah, I think we want to wait for Alpha to get back.
Yes. He goes to the... He makes his way back to the party.
Awesome. Well, I guess you guys meet up in the market. maybe the rest of the party was hanging out and watching some animal fights while they were waiting for you.
Speaking of, did I see any new creatures that might be worthwhile for Wild Shape?
Let's see. Roll a 1d20. I'll see if you beat me.
Nat 20.
Yes. Yes, you did.
I'm not
Yeah, that was quite successful. In fact, what creature would you like to see?
Yeah, that's kind of...
I can turn into challenge rating 4 creatures, so I guess give me one of those suckers.
You can choose, maybe. Do you have anything in particular you're interested in?
I mean, with a nat 20, I'm happy to give it to you.
I don't have a computer on me. Give me a minute. You guys can talk about something else. I'll be right back.
What would be fun? Let's see. I guess we could think of a specific environment, maybe. Maybe something from the mountains. That might be fun.
Oh, as far as what kind of animal?
Yeah, I was trying to think of something that might be fun.
Be like a special edition.
Like maybe like an
like a special edition animal fight. They kind of like the Colosseum used to be flooded for naval battles. Well, for this one, they just did like a special animal fight where they made it look like a natural environment.
That's what I thought. Wouldn't it be cool? Maybe like a two-headed Etin was in there or something.
Okay, I'm back.
I guess we should probably say that it's, what, medium size? Approximately, instead of going large.
So medium size challenge rating 4?
I mean, I'm just thinking about it. Like, be kind of fun.
It could be a magical arena that could house large, but then... That does beg the question if you'd be able to fit into certain combat scenarios.
You know, we could go something ridiculous, like a were-tiger.
That'd be kind of fun. I don't know if that counts for wild shape,
That's
though.
A were. It's a cursed creature.
Yeah, true. Yeah, good point. It does have to be a creature, though, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Hmm.
I think you outlawed what was it? Undead a while back.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely don't. Yeah, we decided undead just was ridiculous to have.
Oh, you can be an aqua dragon.
Hmm?
Like a water dragon.
Nani? Give me a sec.
That'd be kind of fun.
They're small dragons.
Yeah. I wonder if a monstrosity counts.
Cactar.
They're invisible.
How about like an iron cobra?
A food witch.
You know what? If we want, I don't know if I'll actually use any of these today. If we want, we can make a list and roll for it later. Like a list of a bunch of challenge rating 4 creatures and then just roll, see what happens.
Sure, let's do that. That sounds like a good plan. I like that a lot.
Because I don't care. For me, new creatures are new creatures. So I'll be happy with whatever.
Okay, especially well then, yeah.
Four creatures.
Perfect. So yeah, you see something.
Swarm of radiant sharks.
And... oh god. And then Alpha catches up with you.
All right, perfect. So what does Alpha say when he catches up to us?
Good news, everyone! We need to find a dragon. No,
Alpha, what's up with your accent? What'd you do?
What accent?
You weren't with us when we talked to the shopkeeper. Did he convert you?
I have no idea what you are speaking of. Is your mind still intact properly?
Yes, but you had an odd accent.
I believe you have been spending too much time in the Outer Realms.
Okay, whatever.
Fear not, this is a valid argument for transcendence into a more appropriate body in the future. We can address that later if you wish.
All right, Alpha. Anyway, what news do you have?
We must go and find the Siegfried. Bighorn.
Sighorn. Okay. All right. Why is that?
Gond wishes to converse with him, or at least the Aqualites do. He is necessary for a great success.
Okay.
Because they already got Roy, you know. So.
All right. Well, then, last I remember, he was going to Valhalla. So, shall we go to Valhalla and find him?
Hey-ho, hi-ho.
It's all right. Valhalla we go.
All right, so let us see. How do we get to Valhalla from this place?
Good. Oh, there are ways. Okay, so you're going to do Valhalla instead of Bytopia, okay?
Yeah, for the moment. But as soon as we, you know, get Sighorn back, we will do Bytopia.
Okay. There is a portal off somewhere. I'm trying to find my portal map for that. Oh.
Let's see, Mount Olympus and the Outland. And... it's hard to read.
Yeah, sorry about that. Let's see. You wanted to go there. Well, I mean, you can always go back to Yggdrasil. Because that goes up.
The Lady's Ward. Is that a Yskird right there? Right next to Mount Olympus?
Yeah. Yep. Asgard.
Oh, that's Asgard. Okay. That'll take us to Valhalla, won't it?
Yep.
Potentially?
Yep.
Alright. Well, there we go.
Oh, we have a layover? Sorry.
Yeah, you have to hang out and drink at the bar.
Darn, I have to eat airport food.
Alright, so we need to go to some palace.
Well, at least you can, like, hang around in your, you know, pajamas at 3 in the afternoon and no one questions it.
But do I really want that life? I feel like that's Rosewood.
No, you don't. Okay, so let us head to the Lady's Ward and whatever that thing says, Alice.
That's the Jester's Palace.
Ah, so let's head to the Jester's Palace.
All right. You make your way over to the Lady's Ward, and you notice that the people here are much more reserved. It's less crowded. It seems like this is not a place with a lot of public activity as compared to other places.
Okay.
But right. You approach the palace, you notice that it is lit with some interesting colors, you know, like stained glass around the burning torchlights, and there appears to be some kind of, we'll call it more eccentric coloring, you know, around the door marking it.
Okay. Eccentric how?
More like, let's say it's more like a rainbow. Like, well, the stuff around them, you know, tends to be a more muted palette. This is like a rainbow of colors, just an explosion for a feast for the eye. There we go.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Okay. Is it just kind of haphazardly splashed, or?
Oh no, it is like definitely intentionally done to look that way. Even the door that stands out front has each individual slat that makes it up painted a different color.
Okay. All right. Very nice. All right, so is the door open? We walk up to the front door.
Okay. Yeah, it's a closed door. It's, Dana, I mean, most palaces you don't find with doors just wide open.
Okay. So I will politely bang on the door.
Politely bang.
Yep. You know, the door. Subtly is our name.
Okay, you subtly bang, and then it cracks open, and a rather tall, gauntly skinny man with the classic three-pointed hat pokes his head out and says, "You're supposed to use the knocker."
There's a knocker?
No, there isn't one. You look around and you don't see one.
Oh, okay. So I'm like, what knocker?
What knocker? He pokes his head out. There's supposed to be a knocker. Hold on. He pulls the door shut. And you hear kind of a crash inside. And he opens it back up. Step back, step back. And he reaches out and puts a knocker on the door and then closes it again.
This dude's eccentric. I like him.
All right. Okay, so then...
Bang on the door again. Or use the knocker.
No, Dane will use the knocker.
Aw, you're no fun.
I know. So Dane uses the knocker.
Hey, you hear this clam, bam, bam of the knocker, and he pokes his head out, and he goes, "Are you here for breakfast?"
This dude's fun.
No.
Who is gonna eat all of my pun cakes?
Your pun cakes? Oh.
I'm a jester. We eat pun cakes.
Ah, fantastic.
This dude's entertaining.
If you say so.
And he calls himself a jester. I wonder why.
Like, no, we're kind of on an important quest. We need to go to the portal that leads to Asgard.
Very well, you may. But you must answer me a question. What?
Okay.
What do you call an unemployed jester?
Not very punny.
A bum?
What?
I got a like... Bum?
A bum? A bum? What? What are you talking about? No, I'm nobody's fool. Go to your portal.
That was kind of mean, Dame.
Well, then what is the answer to nobody's the riddle, fool. Then, good sir? Oh, got it. Okay, sorry.
This one gets it. You seem like you remind me of a rather popular clown I knew that ate too much. We called him the Ingester.
Wow.
Alpha leans over and says, "This is a joke about your consumption habits, yes?"
Yes.
Ah,
yes,
I see. It's a joke. I get it. It is not funny, but I get it.
All right.
Well, this one could use quite the smile, couldn't he? He's, seems rather sad. Well, my mechanical friend, I'm just not sure what to say to you.
Most people aren't.
Ooh, I know. Would you be interested in seeing what happens when two clowns mate?
Ooh, this does sound interesting.
I'm good.
Oh, come on, they're making...
housemate.
Well, they make a nice jester.
Okay.
Well, Alpha's has been a lovely time.
Alpha's response to Amelia's. Curious, do they also have a tendency to spontaneously combust?
Yes.
I've never heard of such a thing. Huh.
I'm pretty sure if they could, their jokes would be on fire.
Ah! Excellent! Luke, you must hear this one. Oh, Luke has no swag. Well then, Lucas! Well, anyway, here, come, let me show you the way to this portal. You've been so much fun. Come. Here, I'll point out some of the other jesters to you. Ooh, there, you see that lovely chap over there? The one with no arms or legs that's sitting in the hole? Yes, that one there, that's Phil.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. do you have Art, Matt, and Bob around too?
Oh, yes. Art's over there hanging on the wall. And not sure where Matt is, but Lance is up ahead being carried by the knight.
Ah, surely you jest.
I do my best.
I expect him to say, I do jest, but don't call me Shirley.
Yeah, don't call me Shirley.
Well, anyway,
listeners are clicking off.
All right, well, here you go. Here's the portal, and you see a standard kind of stone ring looking thing, but there's a bar, like almost a limbo bar, kind of halfway through it.
Okay.
Well, here you go. Here's your portal. Just remember, two humans walk into a bar, the halfling goes under it.
Okay. Sure. Dane just, walks into the bar.
Yep, you don't have to duck.
Yeah, pretty much.
This has been a lovely time.
So Dane goes through first, and you walk into this like archway and just kind of fade away to everyone's eyes, into the mists.
Okay.
Alpha shrugs.
And the others follow.
Seems safe enough. He didn't die. He wasn't screaming in agony.
True. That's a good observation. Well, I'll turn to the jester. Goodbye, Shirley, and I'll barrel roll through.
Shirley? Oh.
Jester can't take a joke.
I think he was just sad. He didn't get to tell you his dog joke.
Oh.
Yeah, the dog joke.
Yes, what do you call a dog with no legs?
Nothing, because it can never come.
Exactly! Anyway, you...
Nope. I just laughed to herself. I like that joke. That's a good joke.
Alright, so you guys all kind of phase in, if you will. You blink, and to your eyes, there was no fade out, whatever, transporter leg or anything. You just blink back in, and you find yourself in a palisade, basically, with rather nice, longhouse, stunning, architecturally built out of wood. It is a work of art.
Okay, cool. Does Alpha comment on the craftsmanship?
Yes, it is impressive that a creature with no arms and no legs could create something so magnificent.
What? What makes you think that? Oh, I don't know. I don't know how you get your stuff there, Alpha. Like,
oh, given the tendency for what the creature and known as the Jester was saying, I assume that this would be someone with no arms and no legs who spends most of his time on wall fixtures.
Alpha, you, yeah, I don't know. I give up trying to explain stuff to you sometimes, buddy. But I will say this, you know, assumptions are dangerous things, so sometime, one of these days, they may explode back in your face.
That would be interesting to observe. Exploding assumptions. Curious.
Yeah, metaphoric. Metaphorically.
That doesn't seem very effective or useful.
It's not. It's usually a source of embarrassment and or misunderstandings.
Would not literal explosions be more effective? They seem to be in most of our encounters.
Yes. Yes, literal explosions are more effective.
Oh, you do pose a good question. How can we make assumptions go from metaphorical or figurative to literal?
Anyway, all right, Alpha, come on. Let's find a way to Valhalla from here.
Well, where you're at, you know, you see the big longhouse. It's like in front of you as you're looking across this kind of courtyard looking thing, and you know, as you start to pan, you know, left and right, you see other large buildings, various, you know, Viking-ish designs around you.
Okay.
Where do you want to go? Like, forward, left, right, back? You can go anywhere you want.
I guess forward.
Alright. You go forward, and there's the longhouse in front of you. It's entrance is on the side. It looks like a big, glorious gate that stands, you know, four times your height and broad enough that all of you could easily walk through one side of the door if you swung one door open.
Okay, wow. All
right, it's huge.
Well, we gigantic. We will knock on the door.
You knock on the door, and it as you let's see the how can I say this let's see the door swings open, and you see a woman with bright gold hair looking out at you. She kind of squints and looks down. Can I help you? I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to be here.
Yes, we are on a mission to collect a friend of ours. He is in Valhalla, so we are just kind of passing through, and this is a way for us to get to Valhalla.
Ah. This is not Valhalla. You are in Asgard. Valhalla is over there. And she points over to another building off to the side.
Oh, perfect. Well, thank you very much. Then I
You're welcome. She looks very concerned that you're walking around Asgard.
I'll be gone before she can do anything about it, I think.
Well, the door closes, and you begin, I'm assuming, walking over yonder.
Yes.
All right.
Is the forge anywhere visible?
Well, as you're...
Alpha knows of the forge from Gond.
No.
Or Bronn.
You...
Ah, dang. Because of Bubo. Like, so Alpha was curious.
I know. I know, but the random odd dang. Oh. Like, oh, did Alpha make himself so sad? Didn't know he had it in him. Anyway. You guys are start walking over that way, and you notice... Oh, let's see. Dane, you're probably out front, so you notice a snake crawling along the ground towards you. It's pretty good size.
Okay. Does the snake appear to be threatening in any way?
It appears to be a snake that is slithering. It is not reared up or anything like that.
Okay. Well, I just try and give it a wide berth.
It appears to, as you move sideways away from it, it goes more quickly towards you.
Okay.
I know what I can do.
Double check. Mister, I draw my axe.
Alpha's. I'm going to roll a religion check to see if Alpha recognizes this, because we are in more religious areas. Aha! Does Alpha recognize the snake? 23.
You recognize it as being divine, as you are in a divine realm, but you don't recognize, like, if it's a god, what god it is. You just are like, that's interesting.
Okay. All right. Well, Dane just kind of grips his axe and kind of waits and see what the thing does.
All right. Well, since you waited, it slithers up and then, like, stands up almost like a cobra and then speaks to you. I had a rather funny joke planned. You're not supposed to draw your axe on me like that. Very disappointing.
Well, and then it sorry.
Pops back down and slithers away.
Oh. Alright. Dane shrugs, puts his axe away, and continues on.
Okay.
She'll fucking speak, I guess. It's very intriguing.
You make it over to another large door, and you're at another longhouse. Gonna open it, or
I will bang on the door.
Hey, you pound on the door, and it swings wide open, and you see a guy with a big mustache and, you know, the classic two-pronged horns, sword in hand, cape over his back. And he's just... Ah! Looking for a fight, eh?
No. We're looking for a friend. We need to get into Valhalla.
This is Valhalla! Get in here! We're getting ready to fight!
Okay, alright. Well, in we go. Remember last time? Well, not last. Never mind. Yeah. Okay. So Dane just kind of falls him in.
Alpha mumbles under his breath. Those horns seem highly inefficient in a combat scenario.
You just might be correct there, Alpha.
He hears you, turns around, and like pops his eyes out. It's about the fear!
For some reason, around, when you said pops his eyes out, I imagine him actually literally popping his eyes out of his head.
Yeah, basically. Like that one woman that can, like, stress her face muscles and her like eyeballs that. Pop out.
Yeah. Yeah. Off.
So. Anyway. So, he leads you into the Great Hall, and...
Lads! We've got some live ones here!
And the whole hall erupts in a cheer.
Yes, literally live. That's us.
Mm-hmm. And one of them stands up, and he's like,
"I'll fight him myself. Let's do this."
Well, before we get to that, we're looking for our friend Sighorn.
Sighorn. Yeah.
He's over there.
Thank you. That's very kind of you. All right, so we make our way over and say, "Sighorn, good to see you."
What you see is a very, how can I say this? A large, muscular, Viking-looking man. And not a dragon at all. Just a normal human-looking guy. And he pops up.
"Oh, lads, I didn't expect to see you here."
"Sighorn."
"Oh, we are actually on a mission from Gond. Or at least Gond's forge."
"Hmm. Sounds rather intriguing. I just left the forge here myself."
"Yeah, yes. Apparently they have a possible job offer for you."
"Hmm. Not particularly interested in a job, but I wonder what it is they could want."
"Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I suppose I should oblige. It's not often I get called upon by a god."
"All right. Well, let us go then."
He just kind of, "Well, righto." Stands up, and you see this. Finally, him in his human form, standing, with tied braids and blonde hair and a shield and axe. And he really fits in with the hall. And as you guys get up, you hear that first guy,
"I want my fight!"
All right, Dane's like, don't you guys go out and battle every day anyway?"
"Yes."
"Well, you don't really need to fight with me then, or any of us."
And he jumps up on his table, whips out two axes, screams, and then chucks them at you.
All right. Okay. How far away is he?
He is... Oh, let me just roll a random... Oh, he's like 60 feet away.
Oh, we're all together, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I want to see if I can grab one of them. Grab it as it flies towards us. Or maybe he threw one, right?
He threw both. He threw two axes.
Oh, it can only really go on, I think. Let me see how it works.
So, let's see. So, 22 and 18 to hit are the two axe throws.
Is he just throwing at the group in general?
Well, who is roaming him at?
I guess so. My plan at first was to just throw him at Dane, but since you were like, "Well, the whole group's together," right. I'm like, "Sure."
So yes. Okay. Which one's going towards which then? The 18 and the 22.
Let's just say Alpha, since you're the one that seems to be stepping out to, you're like, "Ooh, an opportunity." We'll say that's okay. Flying towards you.
Say the 22 one. How much damage would it do?
Well, let us find out. Those are big... Oh, wrong die. There's some big Norsey axes.
I mean, 60 feet away, I think we would have time to dodge.
Oh, probably. That would be a... Ooh, I rolled good. 15 damage on that one.
I negate it by... What level are we now? 12? So I rolled a 3 plus 5 is 8 plus 12, 20 damage of that. So yeah, just for fun, Alpha snatches it out of the air and I'm going to burn a key and throw it back at him.
Awesome.
And I get proficiency with that. So what would nice. That be? X? A hit?
Yes, that would be a finesse item. So,
all right, that is a 26 to hit.
Yep. And just for the fun of it, I'm going to say that basically you grabbed it out of the air and spun it back around and threw it at him and just hit him square in the head and he just falls right back onto the table. He's just on his back. With an axe sticking out of his head, and everyone else is like,
yeah! All right.
Is he okay?
What about the second axe?
That went
axe?
To you. It's only an 18 to hit. You probably fine. Deflect it with your shield.
Well, I mean, 18, that would hit me. Can I have a chance to at least make a dex save? To see if I can roll out of the way?
Yes, of course.
All right. Not that I'm going to, but you know.
Let's see.
Surprised 18 would hit you.
That's a 9. So no.
I thought. What's your armor class?
18.
Then it wouldn't hit you anyway. It goes to the tie goes to defender. So
that's right. I forgot. Okay. Sweet.
So you just like you go to dodge and it still like hits your shield and bounces up and hits like the wall.
Oh, perfect. Nice.
That's all hilarious. Right. That so you get the one axe that flies at Tane and it bounces away, and the one that flies at Alpha ends up hitting the guy in the head.
Alpha turns to Dane and says, "Are you sure you do not wish to fight? This seems they seem very poorly skilled and capable in this matter. He fell very instantly."
Alpha, you know, we are on a mission for Gond, so, you know, priorities. All right, so, Dane says, he's tempted to say anyone else, but he knows what's going to happen if he says that, so he just kind of turns and leaves.
Awesome.
That's a smart option.
Awesome. Well, you guys work your way down, and that guy that had led you in, he kind of puts his hand up midway down, and he's like, "Wait, you are taking a warrior with you? Where are you headed?"
We are headed to the Forge of Gond.
Strange. And then... Not the Forge of our dwarves?
We can also visit those. I do not... I believe it would detour.
Why not both?
Sure. Dane's always up for, you know, visiting some of his kinfolk and seeing what they make.
Hey, say, I'm highly suspicious of this. We don't have people just stopping in to visit, especially ones that come to take our warriors away.
Especially ones so alive.
Yes, you did not fall in the glory of battle. I am...
Not yet, but, you know, we are trying to save the world, so... We are on a very long and meandering quest to save the world, you know, 1,000 years in the future. So chances are good. We will die in battle.
He just kind of gives you a confused look, and
I'm gonna leave this one up to Odin.
Probably for the best.
He just kind of lets he just kind of steps aside and lets you guys walk out.
Come along, everybody.
Awesome. So you guys walk back out the door and into the courtyard, and as you are walking through the door, you hear another
"Yay!"
He says something else happens.
Wait,
within.
Before we leave, where are the dwarves of your realm?
Oh.
Well,
I don't. I actually honestly don't
asking,
know. They're Alpha.
Alpha's asking the gate guard.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he kind of gives you an eye, and they are deep within the mountains. You must take the path away from the courtyard.
Do the mountains seem far away?
It's kind of, the path just kind of goes off into some mists that you can't see through, so you're not sure.
Is it a long journey? Yes, the guy.
He considers your question.
Not sure how to define it being long, since time really doesn't have meaning for me. I suppose it's a distance to be traveled. It's not insignificant.
How would you define insignificant?
Oh. Something that takes, say, the length of a battle is insignificant. You know, all of my warriors getting killed and coming back to the great feast, as happens every night. These timescales are insignificant to me.
Alpha turns to the group. Shall we, or shall we return to the forge? Khan did not give me a specific time constraint on when we must visit.
Well, sure. We can try it.
Very well. Alpha just starts going down the path.
As Alpha starts walking, Sighorn, gentlemen, I don't believe that is the way we are supposed to be going. Didn't you say you wanted me to go to the forge of this Gond?
Yes, that is still the plan. But
Alpha turns and says, "All paths lead to Gond."
Well, I actually rather specifically know that path does not lead to Gond, as I happen to have just come there from there recently after getting my shackles removed.
Oh, yes. So how long a trip is it?
Well, for me to walk, it took, I believe it was approximately 2 days.
Yeah, we'll see. So it's just a small detour.
Why would you walk when you have more efficient means of transportation?
You have no idea how nice it is to be able to go on a long stroll with two legs after being stuck as a dragon for so long.
Well, see? So now we get to go on a stroll again.
Perhaps with this detour, it would be best if I went back to the Mead Hall. Have fun. I will
acceptable.
See you later.
Unacceptable.
What did you say, Alpha?
Naturally.
Unacceptable?
Because then we have to do a secondary detour to come back.
Yeah, we'll collect them on our way back. Well, most likely we'd be coming by this way anyway. This is our path to get, you know, back to the other realm.
Would he actually remain in the Mead Hall?
I would assume so.
Doesn't know if he trusts them or not.
So, Dane calls after Sighorn. So, Sighorn, are you going to stay in the meat hall while we go and visit the dwarves?
Not the entire time. I do plan on joining the rest of these fine young warriors in the field of battle. Perhaps dying one or two times, coming back, feasting, enjoying this opportunity.
Okay, but so we'll be able to find you in Valhalla.
I believe so. Barring any complications, I have no intention of leaving for quite some time.
Oh, all right. Is that acceptable to you, Alpha? Or do you want to just...
Now Alpha's torn because he wants to stay and see the dragon die. He just said he wants to die.
Oh, God. All right, Alpha. So... What do you want to do? Do you want to go see the dwarves, or do you want to just take Sighorn back to the Forge of Gond?
Oh, very well. Let us go visit the dwarves.
Okay. Let's go. We're going to go visit. Maybe they have some really cool tools and toys to show us.
Yes, it is not often we get to see one's maker's future past play associates.
Yeah.
All right. Future past associates, I love that. Oh, man. All right, well, you go on the long walk. It takes you quite some time. It's a rather pleasant, enjoyable experience, though. You find the weather temperate, the temperature's mild, and eventually you find a place where you descend down into the bowels of a mountain. And you hear as you approach the striking of hammers against metal and the bellows being blown and occasional laughter and jokes being told while you hear little hands working away.
Ah, fantastic. We follow the sounds.
Awesome. Well, there are multiple forges, so I just go to the first one.
What were the dwarven names who made Bubo? I remember.
Those, I think one of them was Inri.
Yeah. They were like big name dwarves. Very bigly.
Let's see. Oh, there's too many of those.
We'll just say, go in there and say, hello, is Inri present?
You catch... Oh, it's... Sorry, it's Itri. E-I-T-R-I. Itri. Anyway, you do ask... You ask that, and... Oh! What are you looking for my brother for?
Ah, you're the brother. Excellent. First of many, you and your brother assisted my leader in the future in creating things, and I wish to extend my thanks on behalf of Gond.
He looks very confused. He's like, we assisted in the future? So... We're going to assist someone, and you're pre-thanking us.
Why, naturally. It's a bit all timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly when you think about it.
Right. He just kind of looks confused and says, so is that all?
I mean, if you have anything that might be of particular interest, we would love to see your creations.
Absolutely.
Are you familiar with the glory of Gond as well?
Oh, yes. Yes, we know. We are dwarves, after all. We know much about Gond.
I'm just thinking, like, laying the foundation for the future when they go, oh, we got a Gondian here.
Awesome.
It must make a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Now he can't call himself a prophet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do we find anything interesting that might be useful that we can
discuss? Well, there's a bunch of stuff.
Kieran?
There's a bunch of stuff laying around. You know, do you want him just to start walking around and like showing you stuff, or what do you want?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Alpha doesn't have any particular need for anything aside from maybe some clothing and stuff, so whatever you guys might be interested in finding.
Well, Dane is always interested in weapons and armor.
Well, you want to, like, ask him about stuff, or...?
Sure. He's like, well, being a fellow dwarf, I'm always up looking at, you know, I'm trying to pick up techniques and looking and seeing what kind of really cool weapons and armor you guys craft.
He kind of looks at you like, well, usually you know, one of the gods comes down and makes a request for weapons. I can show you some of the things we've been working on.
Perfect.
He
I'd love to see that.
Okay, he walks over and he shows you. Well, on one of the tables, he whips off a leather skin covering, and you see a round-headed hammer that has a long line of like runes etched down on all sides. There's what looks like kind of an eye in jewels in the middle of it, with a long hammer that's wrapped in like red jute.
Ah, what is this?
So this is what we call the rune hammer.
Go ahead.
It's enchanted, you see? These magic runes give it power. But it has a catch. It's nothing but a regular hammer until you grab it and you say the magic words, stop, hammer time.
Okay, got it. All right, can I try it?
See if you can wield it. Yes.
What's your strength?
My strength is up to 20 now.
Awesome. Then yes, you can pick it up without a problem.
Okay.
It's still like it feels heavy. But it's like you grab it with both hands and you're like, oh, there's some weight here.
Right. And I say, stop! Hammer time!
All of a sudden you feel the head get, it almost gets lighter in your hand.
Uh-huh.
With the balance shifting towards the heads as the runes glow around the end. And you hear the dwarf,
oh, you've done it now! Best he'll hit that practice dummy quick.
All right. So, yeah, Dane takes a mighty swing at the practice dummy.
So, as you swing, you notice the light move from the leading head back to the rear head, and right as you strike, it moves forward almost like water. It flows from one end of the hammer to the other. And then, in a bright flash, it just explodes the middle of the practice dummy out, and the parts go flying against the wall. And and you feel that there is not a bit of recoil in the hammer. It just expends all its energy and stops dead where you struck.
Oh, wow.
Fascinating.
Dane kind of looks at the hole and goes, ooh. Very nice.
Yes.
Who was this hammer commissioned for?
It is a surprise. It is an upcoming one for one of the gods. It was requested by... Who was that? Heimdall requested it.
Yeah. Very cool. What else you got?
Well, here. Set this one down. Come over. Come to my brother's shop.
All right.
So he like leads you over across the hall and smacks goes in and smacks his brother on the back and is like, "We have visitors! They're wanting to see our latest creations. Are you..."
And express thanks.
"Are you working..." Like, yes, apparently we're going to help them or something. And the brother says, "Oh, yeah. And you notice that he's got what looks like a big, giant piece of stone that's been shaped in his hands that he's working on.
Okay. Well, what does the stone look like?
It's surprisingly, it's almost like a stack of coins on each side, where it then comes in to a rounded head, and then there's a long handle with two feathered wings that are wrapped around it, where you would grab.
I don't look at this and I'm like, "Oh, this is kind of curious. Well, what does this do? What is it?"
He gives you a bit of a smile and a... "This one is a winged stone hammer." "You see, okay, you can swing it around like a normal warhammer, but when you throw it, these wings fold out, and not only will it return to you, it can return to you through extra-dimensional space."
Oh my. So you can literally throw this across the plains?
Yes.
Fascinating. Who are you making this for?
This one is for Odin. I know he loves his spear, but I'm hoping he'll be able to use this to strike down those that must be struck and not have to go there himself.
Ah. Cool. Now that is an awesome weapon. How much damage does it do?
A ludicrous amount. It is the equivalent of maximum fall damage when striking across the plains from his seat here in Asgard.
Okay. Wow. Wish I had that thing.
Perhaps one day, if Odin decides it. For now, I have to finish working on it.
Right. Yes. Do you guys have any weapons that you have that were commissioned and then they changed their mind and decided they didn't want them?
We might have what's left of some of them.
Oh. So what, they break them and then they return them?
That has happened many times. But we also have that thing over there. And you see in the corner there's what looks like a chest with a lightning rod coming out of the top of it.
Oh, what is that?
That is Thor's obliterator.
Sounds ominous. What does it do?
Put in whatever you wish. He calls down a lightning strike. And anything inside is reduced to nothing but ash.
Oh, okay. Well, that wouldn't be very useful for me.
We just use it to make extra coal for the forge.
Makes sense.
It's used, that puts its magic to good use.
Okay.
Yes, you'd be amazed at how much easier it is to craft a magical weapon when you have magical coal.
Makes sense. Yeah, good point. Alright. Cool. Is there anything you would like to give me? Armor or weapons or, you know. We're on a quest to save the world, you know, 1,000 years in the future, so, you know, hey. Always looking for stuff.
Well, the gods get rather upset if we start giving away our wares, but I see you've got a mighty looking axe on your back.
Yes, it is. It is not too bad. It is the Axe of Broken Mirrors.
Excellent. It is good that it is already...
Get the Axe of Fixed Mirrors.
It's glad it's already magical. May I borrow it for a moment?
Sure.
He, like, holds it and gives him a bit of a shiver. He's like, "Ooh, there is power here." Takes it over and he's got his big grindstone and he starts sliding it through back and forth, and you hear this just otherworldly screaming coming from it. It's almost like giving you tinnitus, it's so loud. But he pushes through and you see just this glint as it shines, and he hands it back over to you with a smile. Says, "Try splitting a hair with that."
Alright, and Dane plucks a hair from his head, because, you know, his beard hair is a little bit short still. And he tries to split the hair with the axe.
It not only splits, it, like, curls like a curly mustache around the blade.
Sweet. Alright. Dane's like, "Thank you."
The axe of curling.
Says, "I've given you a bit of a bonus on that. Enjoy."
All right, thank you, sir.
So you can
any
mark
other party members want to.
You well, you, hold on, real quick. So Dane, you can mark that as a fine weapon. So when you roll for your damage on it, roll the die twice and take the higher amount.
Oh, nice. Okay. That is really helpful. Well, thank you, good dwarf. That is a princely gift.
He gives you a wink from one dwarf to another, eh?
Do you guys possibly have any bows?
I think our brother down there is working on speakers. Sure.
Speakers?
Yeah, bows.
Oh, the Bose speakers, yeah.
I know, that was terrible.
Like, oh, that's not... Sorry for our bad jokes. It gets boring under the mountain here. Bows aren't really our thing, but if I could help maybe with arrows?
Nah, I'm good on arrows.
Well, you got the Patriot arrows. Maybe they can improve that.
I don't really use the Patriot arrows much anymore, thanks to the Chaos arrows. My only problem is that my bow doesn't do a lot of damage on its own. So if I don't get a good thing with random arrows, then it's really not that much damage. I was wondering if they could do something to fix that.
He says, "May I look at your bow?"
Alrighty, sure thing. And I hand him my longbow.
He starts looking at it and kind of eyeing it, going back and forth, and
I have another more magical bow if you want to look at that one and possibly improve that.
So wait, which one did you give him? Just like your regular...
Yeah, but I could give him the light bow. The rainbow. Or not the rainbow.
He kind of squints at that. Yeah, he kind of squints at that and then looks back at this one and... I can improve this for you. Not supposed to give you anything new. But I have an idea. And he kind of goes and rustles around through a toolbox for a while and pulls out what just looks like a bowstring, but he curls it like around the top and then spins it around your string and then hooks it on the bottom. And he says, "This should improve your accuracy, but more importantly, it should make your chaos a little less chaotic." Hands it back to you. So the mechanic there is you'll get an extra +1 to attack, but on your chaos chart, you could roll your number twice and then pick which one you want.
I see. Well, thank you kindly, sir.
He kind of... kind of weird.
Anyone else?
I mean, the only thing I would probably want would be better armor, but I'm not taking metal armor. I would only be able to use like leather or furs, so don't think you guys specialize in that.
He kind of scratches his beard and...
Well, don't much work with the leathers. But we do work with runes. Thinking you might be able to etch a rune or two into that armor of yours.
Mayhaps.
I would take it if I were you, Kasros.
Sure.
He grabs it and he thinks for a bit and he looks at you and asks, Do you tend to... I assume your dwarf friend here is the leader in battle. Do you tend to hold back or do you go up and fight with him?
I go up and fight. It's not normally in this form.
Ah, a shapeshifter. But you take this with you when you shapeshift.
Yes. I assume the armor of another being, we'll say.
Well, then answer me this. Do you take a lot of damage when you fight?
I would say so.
I have a thought. We may carve in a series of runes, rub from our coal into this armor of yours, blacken it, make you resistant to necrotic damage, and should you fall in battle to where you would drop to 0 hit points, you would instead only drop to 1.
Good against necrotic, I can fight my worst enemy with less setbacks. Sign me up. I'll take that.
He gives you a nod and sits down and starts carving away, and you see him just like with a knife just etch like runes into your armor. And as he completes one with one hand, he reaches with the other and grabs a chunk of the coal from Thor's obliterator and just rubs it in, and you see it just like making these deep black marks that shine with a flash, almost like blue lightning, and then become part of the armor itself.
Well, that's pretty neat.
Interesting. Can you do anything with these? And Alpha holds out his hands.
With what?
These. They are constructed as well.
He kind of cocks his head. We don't forge body parts? He scratches his head and... I could make them hairy? Is that what you're looking for?
I do not believe so. Very well.
He's just very confused. He's like not sure what to do with just, you know, bare
etching
hands.
Etching runes then.
You wish me to etch a rune into your hand?
If you think it would be effective. If not, I understand.
Sure. I mean, have a couple thoughts. What do you... He looks at you for a while, kind of raises an eyebrow, thinks, and... I have an idea. You seem like you're almost like a multi-tool. I perhaps can make this improved in ways that even I had not considered before today to be possible. You have the ability to, well, can I remove your fingertips?
Remove in general, or...
Well, I will be replacing them.
Very well, if you believe it is possible. Necessary. Even the great progenitor sacrificed his hand for progress, so I suppose some fingertips is reasonable.
Very well, then. Come put your hand on the table here.
Okay.
And he like, first he does that little knife game where he skips between it. And he's like, haha, just kidding. And then there's just a pop, pop, pop. And it's so quick and fast that you don't even notice that all of a sudden your fingertips are gone from your hand. And then he goes, walks into the other room real quick, comes back. Oh, you're gonna love this. And starts, like, with a little tiny hammer pounding and putting things on. And he's like, all right, these are really cool. So, this one on your pointer, we call it a pen. You can write with it and it will never run out of ink. This one on your next finger, I call it an eraser. It lets you remove writing from things.
Fascinating.
This. Anyway, he goes through several of them, and then we'll fill this all in later. I'll come up with a full list, and then he goes to your other hand. And he says, "But this one, I had this idea. It's like a torch, but it only lets out light in the direction you point."
Ah, fascinating.
So laser fine.
Yeah, basically. Flashlight. Like a little flashlight. He's got like a finger flashlight.
Now we just need to fight a giant cat.
All right. What does Alpha think of this?
Oh, he's fascinated by it. Would you not
He be? Suddenly became a very effective tool.
Yes. Fascinating indeed. Much more.
He's got
efficient.
A couple, like one of his little fingers has got a little cap that flips open, and it's like a little spoon, and another one's a little fork, and he's got a little butter knife. And you know.
I wouldn't really need those, but yeah.
He didn't specify. He's just being helpful.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe it could be useful. Like, you know, the fork could be useful for things. Who knows? Or the spoon, yeah? Doing alchemy in the future? You never know.
Oh. Or maybe you go to some advanced realm with electricity, you gotta plug in to recharge.
Oh, yes, see? Very useful.
I mean, anything has a use in the right circumstance.
Exactly.
Before we go, since they mentioned that they do mostly commissions for God, for gods, Alpha asks, do you perhaps... are you open to commission requests on behalf of gods?
Well, I mean, generally, we have to have Odin approve, but...
Oh, non-rush orders. Just for the very distant future.
What are you thinking?
Ah, Alpha recants stories that his progenitor told him about the adventures of the past. And describes the weapons that the previous party had used, like a bronze hammer and the old axe and stuff that were gifted to the party.
Gotcha.
So just like, you know, for future reference. And a little bit about Bubo, just as a, you know, description thing. Just explaining what, like, the future him a little bit.
He just kind of nods and picks his head and,
yeah, that sounds really interesting. I look forward to Odin's next visit. We'll discuss some of these things with him.
Ha, framework for success and death laid. Well, at least bronze. We still don't have any confirmed death for the others.
They were in basically a nuclear explosion. I think they're dead.
But we don't know that.
That's true. Someone could have climbed inside of a lead-lined refrigerator.
Exactly. Alright.
Alright, guys. Done getting your stuff, or?
I would say so.
I think so. That was pretty cool.
I finally got better armor. Woohoo!
Yeah, that's a tough one, is I had to, like, think of what would be good for a druid. But... anyway, so you guys want to climb back out and head back towards, you know, civilization?
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Do you think we still have any of that crystal left that we, collected?
Sure. We'll just say yes. You got a little. We'll make it easy. Right.
Dane digs into his bag and pulls out a hunk of that energy crystal and is like, since you guys were so helpful, maybe you have a use for this. And he hands the crystal over.
They both look at it in shock. Like, they've never seen anything like it before. They're just... Yeah, we'll check this out.
All right. Well, have fun. Thank you very much.
Oh. You're very welcome, as he's distracted and just staring at this crystal.
Nice. All right. Fantastic.
Nice.
All right. Well, then I guess we head on back down, back towards Valhalla.
Awesome. That's more of an up, but yeah. So you
gotta
head all the way
to...
Yeah, of course. So, you head down and get up, or wait, strike that,
right,
reverse
climb,
it.
Climb out of the mountain and then head down to the flatlands.
Something like that. But anyway, you eventually make it back to Asgard. You know where to find Sighorn, and no one really bothers you this time as you walk in and find him sitting basically where he was last time. Everyone just kind of eyes you. They're hoping for a challenge if anyone's willing to do it.
Ah, yeah. Dane just ignores him and goes like, "All right, Sighorn. We did what we came for. So come on, let's take you to the forge."
Righto. All right, and he turns and gives a nod and best 2 out of 3 next time, Frere. Turns and walks out with you.
Perfect. All right.
Yeah, Sighorn. We're gonna fight together. It's gonna be awesome. We're gonna be so cool. I love you.
Wow.
I believe
you're just really cool.
Thank you for that clarification. I was rather concerned. We just met.
Platonic way. You cool.
Ah, yes, righto.
You have an accent. It's a cool accent. We get to hear Cheerio all the time.
Dane edges up to Kastros and says, "Kastros, you're acting kind of weird."
Thank you.
Anyway, all right. So we head back the way we came and end up back in the Jester's Palace.
Awesome. You drop through and you see him and he's like, "Well, look, who decided to come back?" And his eyes go over to your axe and he sees the shine. And he's like, "Whoop. Well, that's mighty fancy. Is that a rod of lordly in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?"
I'm just going to say no to that. Just in general, no.
Fine. Well, I'm sorry. It must just be a charm spell, because you're just overcoming my fire resistance.
Whatever you say. All right. Let us go. Alpha, if you would like. Maybe tomorrow we can take Sighorn to the Forge of Gaunt.
The jester sees Sighorn and he's just like, "Whoa." He's just shocked. Like, he saw you guys go through and he sees this, like, you know, just monster of a man come through and he's just like, okay.
And then Sighorn says, "Cheerio."
"Hi there, old chap." He's like,
"In crumpets."
He's just, after a moment of shock, he like shakes his head, and the jester's like, "Let me show you to the door." And he keeps kind of looking back and eyeing him, and he goes, "You know, I just heard an interesting one. There was an ogre who walked into a bar with flint and steel." Sighorn, "Yes." He goes, "Well, the bartender said, 'Don't start anything.'"
Oh, jeez. God. Wow. Dane looks at the jester and is like, "Do you happen to be a dad?"
"What? No, my lineage are all eunuchs."
"Oh, okay. Because I would swear these are the kind of jokes that, you know, like, dads tell."
"Ah, well, we do our best. I mean, they are the only jokes that the Lady of Pain seems to appreciate."
"Ah. Loviatar?"
"Well, no, she would be much more pleasant. No, the Lady of Pain, the Lord of this realm."
"Ah, okay. Yeah, someone that we probably sounds like we don't want to meet."
"I I generally don't recommend it.
All right. Thanks for the tip. All right. Out the door we go.
Well, farewell, friends. Don't forget, if you ever run into an angry witch, what to say? Ribbit!
Ribbit?
I'm good.
An angry witch, you know, turns into a frog.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah, keep working on your material there, big guy.
I'm doing the best I can. Slams the door.
It's always fun to insult a comedian.
Oh, and Sighorn. He's a rather strange chap, wasn't he?
Yes, very.
He's interesting.
Reminds me of this one time, old boy that I had to deal with. It was irritating, wouldn't go away, made me miserable.
And who was that?
Well, it was full 7 years I was dealing with this lich.
Oh, yes. Yes. But, didn't we take care of that?
Ah, this was a different one. You dealt with him. You dealt with him rather quickly. No, I was thinking of the 7 year lich, but that's all.
Oh God! All right. Fantastic.
He just gives kind of a frumpy smile. Walks on.
Alrighty then. Cool.
Well, and I mean, you guys actually want to go through dropping him off, or do I just want to say you made it there and delivered him successfully?
I guess we can say that we made it there and delivered him successfully.
Awesome. So we'll have the camera pan up as you guys walk into the door. And we roll credits to pick up here next time.
Fantastic. Now Alpha can write.
And Flint, you have a light so he can see better, not damage his eyes.
Right? So, since his fingertips are all tools now, is that going to negatively affect his combat skills?
Nope, because when he makes a fist, because he's a puncher, he'll close his hand, ball it up, and protect all the tools.
Okay, all right. That would be kind of funny if, in fact, you know, they gave him all these cool tools, but it nerfed his combat a little bit.
Oh, that would have been a good idea.
Oh, I can use the fork and poke him in the eye.
I just had a vision of you, like, flipping open your utensils and you went to poke him with a fork and spoon and he just put his hand up like he's doing the chop and blocks you.
Replaces the ink in the pen with poison.
Oh, there you go.
Blowfish ink.
Yeah, awesome.
There you go.
Except we're always fighting, you know, undead, so probably wouldn't affect him too much.
You're not always fighting undead, jeez.
We faced quite a few undead in this particular campaign.
And that's okay.
Well, they are kind of the they're kind of the standard bads of D&D, you know.
Okay. I thought maybe that was something you did purposefully because we don't actually have a cleric in our midst that can turn undead.
No, it just, like, the one place it just worked really well in with the story to have them be undead like the with the lich guy because he was like Lord of the Dead. Before that, when we first started them out, because most undead are really low level, so they're easy to just throw at, you know, beginner characters.
Okay.
It also, again, it kind of worked with the story that I was trying to build at the time.
Got it. I thought it was an interesting quinkydink. I was just wondering if you had actually, you know, if that was a conscious thing, but it just seems like, okay, so it's mostly story driven. Good to know.
I'm really trying to, you know, keep it, make it work with the story.
Yep. Okay. Sounds groovy.
This has been an Azentuary LLC production. Find us online at azentuary.com for character bios, merchandise, Patreon, and more. Thank you for listening.
It's not blueberry, it's blueberry.
Oh.